listening show episode number 72, which means it's my episode because I have all the even numbers and you have all the odd numbers. Jesus, popping like a popcorn.
Like a non-virgin.
Popping like a, yeah, good stuff.
Come to us for the jokes.
You said you had three topic ideas and you listed three of them, and one of them is one you added, and it was moral authority. Is that right?
Yeah. You know why I did that?
Why?
Because I have the moral authority to do
over
that.
Me?
I have the authority morally to do that.
To list it on your own list?
To list it on to add my own thing to our list.
You have your own agency to just do that.
No, so what no, made you're not you... listening, Zach.
Authority.
No, moral authority. I have moral authority. Okay. To do that.
I'm sorry.
It's okay.
It's me being confrontational here. It's me.
You know, the fun thing you think about moral authority is you can't argue with somebody who has it.
If they actually have it, yeah.
If they actually have it, but I'm saying, that's why I wrote it down, among other things. If you want to talk about that, we can talk about whatever you want.
Well, I'm just curious why you wrote that down, and then maybe we can talk about it. Because for me, it's like, what is there to talk about with moral authority?
But... Well, I don't have a lot of developed thoughts about it, but I have thoughts about it. My thought mostly is, I have a problem with telling anybody to do anything. Right there. But then I think that applies to pretty much anything. I don't want to be in a position of power. But even if I was given power by others, so I guess government, I would not feel good telling others, like, I decided we're going to do this. I don't want that responsibility.
Is your main problem with it the imposition of moral authority or actually the fact that some people have it and some people don't?
I don't know if I understand imposition.
So you imposing your...
Yeah.
That's your main problem with it, yeah. Is the imposition.
Telling others what to do is specifically my problem. I decided to call the problem moral authority.
Okay.
Which kind of extends to other things to possibly talk about, but...
Does that just make you a hipster or just a reasonable person? Because that's a hipster thing.
I was a hipster before I knew what a hipster was, so I'm hipster squared. No, I mean, what's the actual question? Does that make me
I'm just
hipster?
Wondering. Well, yeah, I think that's just a truism of people that they don't like authority.
I think people are very comfortable telling others what to do. For example, if
it's natural for people to buck authority.
Buck? You mean reject? Go yeah. against? Well, yeah, that's not the same thing, though.
That's what I was saying, though.
I got no problem with...
Well, that's a truism. I'm just saying that resisting, thing about people, resisting authority is a truism about...
Rebelling.
Yeah.
That's the word. We all rebel.
Well, that's a word too, but also resisting.
I don't have a problem with resisting authority. I'm talking about imposing my authority on someone else. Or even at the simplest level, telling someone else what to do. That's my problem. So, something might be true as far as I believe, and I live my life by that, but I would never tell someone else, therefore, because I'm so certain of this thing, that you should do it too. At best, I can say, I think you should, but I'm not going to say you should. You know, like I never feel comfortable with it. It's really difficult to get there because of the problem of moral authority. And at the extreme, I think my line of thinking was, and I'm really sorry, I hope I don't apologize too much, I am very tired. The extreme is, I don't know if I said this on the show last time, free will, but this connects to it. I think I did. I know I've been thinking about it. Everybody believes in God, is what I say. And most people, their God is themselves. But everybody has a highest value or moral authority that they're going to follow. And usually it's just their own self. So anyway.
And you just call that God.
I call it God.
Yeah, I do too.
So if I think that... Who can say that their godliness is better than anyone else's godliness? Because it's not. The best bet you have is to literally put moral authority on the God, which is up beyond you. That's your best bet for values and standards.
Mm-hmm.
All right. There's some stuff in the air if you want to.
Well, here I go pushing your thoughts to the extreme again and trying to stone man your point. But you said, I have a problem with anybody imposing... Tell me if this is wrong, but it sounds like you're saying I have a problem with anybody telling anybody else what to do.
No.
Say it again.
I have a problem with me telling others what to do.
Oh, okay.
That's different because I'm special. No. Reasonably, therefore, I should have a problem with you telling me what to do if that's what I believe, you know.
Yeah, do you?
Ironically, I can't tell you to not tell me what to do. So, so I am special.
Okay, I'm just curious.
No, but that's without trying to get into it technically, that's how I feel about it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Well, here, so here's the extreme example of why, you know, that the statement that I made, the it's wrong, maybe it's maybe the statement is it's wrong to tell other people what to do because you don't have the moral authority. That's the reduced version of what you're trying to say, maybe. So the extreme of that would be, well, it's wrong for me to tell a murderer you're not supposed to murder. And, you know, because that's wrong. I don't have the moral authority to do that. But that obviously isn't, we don't treat that as if that's the case. We don't treat that rule as if that's how we act. So to some degree, we give ourselves some moral authority, at least in like cultural or interactive decisions with another person. But that also, that particular rule, it's another imposition on someone else's, technically, because murdering it literally is the biggest imposition on somebody that you can do because you're just stopping them from being alive. I don't know. I'm trying to think of an example to disprove that as a statement.
What are you trying to disprove? I can help you disprove it.
Okay. Yeah.
Because I'm supporting.
So, and it's not that I'm trying to disprove it because I don't like it. It's trying to disprove the idea.
Trying to strengthen
that,
the idea.
Yes.
By attacking.
Stoneman it. Yes. That people shouldn't impose their moral authority on somebody else. It's wrong to do that. At a certain level, we behave as if that's not the case, and is my point.
I'm not saying you're right or wrong, but I really feel like I have to go at this. When you say, I'm imposing on you, I'm telling you don't murder somebody, it's really hard to... We need to pick a more original... Because that moral, that law, whatever, it exists outside of you. It happens to be of God, not just of you. That law specifically.
Oh, the not murdering?
Yeah, you know, so it's hard to... Because it sounds like if I'm refuting that.
I get that.
So we
point.
Need to pick something that's... Let's do the other extreme. Let's do banal. I brush my teeth twice a day. Therefore, you should brush your teeth twice a day. Or how, what are you trying to disprove again? But let's just use the teeth brushing thing.
I'm trying to disprove it's wrong for one person right. to behave as if they have the moral authority over another person.
Hmm. Well, we're in a gray area because if it was physically imposed, like I'll physically make you brush teeth, that's wrong.
Is it?
Yeah.
Now, does that... Now...
Between two adults, okay?
Okay.
Let's just keep it simple so I can get to my point, I think. The other extreme is just saying whatever I want. I can say whatever I want, just words. But in the middle, morally, I have the authority. Who put me in charge? And I feel bad about it and wrong about it. But there's a gray area because sometimes, as a matter of fact, we do put people in charge morally. Like maybe, I don't know if this is a good example, a pastor.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's a gray area because I think we're going to go back and forth, which I want to do about this is right or wrong. And we're not going to land on anything because I think it's gray. We can attack as much as you want. But as it comes to me, I think I'm in the black. I don't have any moral authority over other people.
So I just had like seven thoughts as you were saying that. And the first one was about hierarchies and how people sort themselves into them. And that by just proxy creates authorities. So that's one thought, and we could go into that. The other thought was, is this an exercise of useful knowledge or kind of pointless knowledge? Because I realized the question that I asked before about a person murdering somebody and they impose their, and you have a problem. The example of someone murders someone and you impose your idea that you shouldn't murder people onto them. I was doing that example sort of in a vacuum. Obviously, there are other standards that apply. The literal law says not to do that. The Bible says moral, you know, there are places, a lot of places say not murder people. So there's a bunch of authorities saying not to do that. Now, if we remove all authorities and then there's no hierarchies, you would have a problem in a vacuum of someone saying, a person saying, no, this person have a moral problem with you behaving in this way. But really, and I now recognize, I'm only saying that because I now recognize that that's kind of a useless example. So like you said, you know, we were talking about this last week, the idea of useful knowledge and just knowledge for knowledge's sake. And maybe we can talk about something different because I don't think that question is necessarily very useful.
Well, that's a question I have for myself. I don't know if this is useful knowledge. What I'm trying to figure out is something for myself. personally, I think, because by nature of what this is, it's not to tell other people how to live their lives and how moral authority works. It's, I'm trying to figure out for myself, is it wrong to tell someone else what to do? Again, on one extreme, in the air, it's just words. No, you're not. It's not wrong. You're not going to get cuffed. You're not going to be, you know, on the other end, you know, physically, I'm not there. In the middle, morally, I don't think so. Now, do you want to argue against that and say, Walter, you have moral authority over other people? I don't think it's an easy argument to make. So if that's all true, then we can talk about maybe what you're interested in, how that might apply to other people.
So anything, I guess this is sort of the easy answer. And it's that if you ever try to impose your moral authority on somebody and it defaults back to another authority that's greater than you, then you're justified. So like someone's doing graffiti in a public place and you go up to them and say, that's illegal. You shouldn't do that. That's different because you're defaulting to a greater authority than yourself. And you technically, maybe you're not an agent of that authority, but you can behave that way. And that's probably more of a moral thing to do than just saying, I think you shouldn't do graffiti, yeah, therefore.
But that's, I'm not disagreeing, but that's parroting moral authority. It's not yours.
That's what I'm saying. But you're okay with that.
Yeah, but there's a dark side to that. I don't know what it's called. It's false prophet, antichrist. It's saying that I'm doing this and for a greater good, this thing, but you're not really. But you're saying you are, and that gives you a pass.
You're borrowing someone else's authority so you can feel as though you're an authority figure.
And that's one way of saying it. And I have different branches this goes to. One is politically. If your enemies are morally reprehensible and you're morally right because you're following, maybe because you're following what you tout as a greater authority, then that gives you the right to put that on other people.
Mm-hmm.
That's true regardless of where you are politically. But that's a dark side. In the same way that I don't think you should falsely parrot authority, I think then it would probably maybe be fair to also not parrot true authority.
Hmm.
I don't know. That's kind of what I was, one of the questions I had.
So similar to my theory about,
I can give an example, but go ahead. I'll remember.
So dogmatism, I've talked about dogmatism before and how it's kind of reprehensible. And I said the only exception to that would be if your dogma is correct. Because technically, if you find the correct information and you hold that, if you hold your views dogmatically, it's the correct thing to do. Because what should you hold? You know, because dogma is the idea is holding on to authority that without questioning it, basically. But if you were actually to find the correct thing to hold dogmatically, like it's the accurate religion, whatever you want to call it. If you found the truth, you should hold that dogmatically. That's actually the appropriate behavior with that action. And I think similarly, in this conversation, if you defer to a higher authority and you point other people to this authority and say, you have to do this, and I'm by proxy telling you that this authority is correct one, that's reprehensible in every case except for when your authority is the ultimate authority, in which case that's the appropriate thing to do. You know, and I think that's, those are kind of the same thing there.
I get that, but I don't see a clean way out, because between two people, person A says, this is the right authority. Most people even would agree with me. Person B goes, well, that's not my authority.
Right. We're disregarding obvious human error here. Let's say for some reason, we found some way to prove that there's the ultimate authority. You know, a lot of people believe it's God. A lot of people believe it's other gods. A lot of people believe it's themselves, you know, or the government. You know, there's a bunch of different ones that people say. But if, let's say, everyone figured it out, and there was some way to prove it, then the appropriate thing to do would be to defer to that authority.
Yeah, but
that's, obviously that's an interesting
extreme to take it to, yeah. Because even then, I think what I think about it doesn't change. So, like, I certainly don't feel good at the prospect of telling, like, again, like, objectively, empirically, hey, there's God, irrefutable proof that this is the moral high ground, whatever. Now,
yeah,
you'll have an amazing amount of people just going, nope. But then I still don't think I have the right to say to those people, you have to do these things. You should do these things. I mean, that's all true, but why do I need to say it? They know it, mm-hmm. in that scenario.
Yeah.
And I am servicing nobody maybe but myself by saying those things to people. Look at me and how I can, and I'm telling you, like, I'm not needed.
Technically, what you're saying is you have a problem with prophets then. If I just took it to its logical conclusion, it's like, why do those guys get to be the messengers for a greater God?
Because God actually communicate with them and sent them.
But they didn't communicate with us, then proved it's like we don't know that he did that. What proof do we have that the prophets were the ones that God selected? Now I'm trying to stone man this.
Yeah, I get it. And I'm gonna push back and say not every moral authority issue has to do with God.
I think
especially if because we don't live empirically.
Yeah.
Because morals are gray between all people, as in we don't, not everybody believes in God and all that. So my little pushback is just not everything that I could say to somebody is so grave as eternal life in hell. It could be as simple as you should brush your teeth twice a day because it's, or whatever. It's scientifically, you should do this to prolong your teeth. So what if it's true? No, some people can choose to not do it.
Mm-hmm.
And I would never tell someone, like, I make my bed every morning. I'm not going to tell somebody you should make your bed every morning. Maybe you should. Maybe you should. Maybe that is what God intended. But that is not my place to say that.
Yeah. Well, where you're operating at is as a person who has no obligation of authority right now. And so your philosophy, I believe, is the correct one. That's what I believe, too. It's like if everybody's agency isn't harming other people, then I have no reason to impose, no matter how stupid they're being, because everybody's being stupid.
Well, I can agree on that.
But like, no, this is where it becomes different. If either contractually or if you sort yourself into a hierarchy in which you have authority over people, let's say you're a manager at a business or you're an elected official in a government place, then it's your duty to behave as the authority and under the structure in which you're working.
That doesn't bother me as much.
Well, because that's what your job is. And that's why it wouldn't bother
right.
you.
Right. The word isn't empirical. When it comes to the law, you're not dealing with morals explicitly, like making your bed isn't even morals, but let's go ahead. I just want to get into your example in a minute. Let's say I am not a policeman. I'm a construction worker. There we go. Physical stuff. You know, I'm in charge of lots of buildings and lots of people, and I'm telling them to do their... Yeah, I have no problem with that. But because of the way our Western society, at least, is structured, every physical thing and job is under morals. So when it comes to like the workplace, I might say, everybody, you should all wear hard hats, even though hard hats only save like 0.02% of you people. I'm going to make you all wear hard hats all the time. Now we're getting because of life, and that's our value, and that it's my decision. How many people am I going to inconvenience, and how many people am I, there's morals are in everything. I think if you took morals out, we can't exist. I think if you don't have a hierarchy, if you don't have a highest standard for anything, then nothing exists.
There are hierarchies, and then there are hierarchies and hierarchies, and then there's the hierarchy of all hierarchies, and we behave under all of those.
Unless you wanted to take it apart, I was thinking of another branch where I'm interested in people who, because you can't really combat that.
So what you're
saying, if you want to, you have to, man, I think there are people who do this, and I'm speaking vaguely, they don't like the hierarchies, they don't like the values, they don't like how maybe they are valued or ordered in that. So the way to combat it is to just attack the ideal, the structure, the morals, attack those. But in doing that, they're not helping themselves.
Right.
They can't ascend. But if, this isn't a good way to say it, if the morally right thing was to, if the morally right thing to do was to abandon all morals, that is a philosophy, I guess.
I think that's nihilism.
Maybe. I don't think so, but maybe it is. If the morally right thing to do was to abandon all morals, then you are superior to everyone else. And that is because if everyone else is obeying morals and you're not, therefore you ascend, if I don't know what the right word is, then you're allowed to impose your moral authority. I think people do that politically and maybe other ways. Anyway, go ahead. I'm just spouting some
branches. I had a joke, and the joke was, so what you're saying is that construction workers should make their bed.
I mean, I have more authority, but if I did, yeah.
They should. Yeah, no, there's a lot of true things about people who are sorted into hierarchies in different places. And I don't know that, people, this is just a theory I have about people, but I don't know that people ultimately want themselves to be the highest in the hierarchy. Now that, and I can try to justify this theory I have. I think that people, they kind of subconsciously fear ultimate authority. And a lot of them do. Many of them don't too. And some of people are naturally subservient, but I believe everyone is kind of built that way. And that's why even in situations where there is like, it's just free reign and everybody's free and all that, we end up always sorting ourselves into hierarchies. It's just like a weird truism about people.
And I also think it's built in.
I think, yeah. So I think when you talked earlier, you said most people, their God is themselves. And I don't know if that's the case. Some people it's money or, you know, there's a bunch of things that could be your God or success, mm-hmm, or mm-hmm, sex or.
Yeah.
There's a bunch of things. And a lot of people, it's also God, the way that we imagine it.
God is my definition of your highest value.
Or the highest value separate from you.
For most people, I think, I might be wrong about this. I assume most people's highest value is themselves. So most people give in a push or shove situation will choose themselves. Some people will choose money. Some people will choose others. Well, some people will.
Yeah. No, I get that. I guess what I was going to say about it is that you can imagine hierarchies in a literal sense. Let's say, and you sort, people are somewhere in the middle, like maybe above animals and plants and the world, but beneath laws and moral weight of the universe. You know, there's a bunch of mm-hmm. God. Everything that's God is above people, but we're somewhere above these other things. And people see that we're sorted above these things. Well, we're smarter than dogs and all, you know, plants and stuff. So I could see us sorting at least intellectually higher in the hierarchy than these things. And because of people's like innate fear of things bigger and greater than themselves, it's like in this hierarchy, this physical manifestation, they don't look up. They're kind of good with just looking beneath them and seeing themselves as above all that. And I often think that's why people, it's so profound when people who have never considered an authority higher than themselves finally meet that authority face to face, you know, metaphysically even. It's a very profound moment in their life, and all of a sudden things just change. It's uh-huh. what a lot of people call getting saved, because all of a sudden there's something bigger than yourself, yeah. and it changes the way you see everything else.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's why that moment for a lot of Christian people, or I shouldn't put quotation, for Christians who have experienced getting saved, it's always so life-changing. It literally is a sorting of their perspective. It's looking down to looking up in a, you know, metaphysical sense.
There's not much I can add to that. There's some I could, but the one thing I was thinking, and it's because I'm cynical, I think you said people look out through the hierarchy and they see what's below them and they're comfortable with that and they're fine putting them beneath them.
Uh-huh.
I think not only do they do that, they look across to others at like themselves and they are comfortable putting people of the same authority as themselves in the hierarchy beneath them as well, if they can. Some people.
Yeah.
Well, some people who are, I'll just use the word bad.
Malevolent.
That word works too.
Yeah, I don't know. I think they would like to think that.
Right.
Some people. I was going to say something about that, and it kind of left my periphery. It's certainly true that there are people who wish that they sorted differently in the hierarchy, and they can do a lot of things to trick themselves into believing they're somewhere else. But I believe people kind of sort in the same place, at least in the ultimate hierarchy of values and of life in the universe, or life that exists, consciousness. And the value of consciousness, we're all kind of equal. And I think that's the plane in which people operate, at least, you know, contractually, like in the Constitution, when you know, the forefathers basically said that all men are created equal, all people are created equal under God. I think that's the hierarchy that they were talking about there. It's the hierarchy of consciousness, of value in life. Now, and a bunch, there's just a bunch of hierarchies that are parallel to that one too, or beneath that one. And people often will forget about that hierarchy entirely just because in this other one, they sort way higher. Maybe they're the ultimate authority in this, in their business that they own. It's like, well, in this business hierarchy, I'm the top dog. So
in this Twitter hierarchy, I'm top dog.
Yeah.
Yeah. Therefore I have this position in all hierarchies.
Yeah. Yeah.
I've achieved authority here. Therefore I have moral authority.
Right. And you know, there's certainly a lot of malevolence you can attribute to some people. I tend to believe, and maybe you don't, I don't think you believe this way, but I tend to believe it's not so much malevolence as much as it is ignorance. And you know, we're like, just a bunch of people trying to survive on a floating rock in space next to a sun that's burning at millions of degrees.
When it comes to what you're talking, generally maybe sin,
or just where they see themselves in the hierarchy or how they behave in hierarchies. It's like, you know, there's plenty of deliberate motive or malevolent motive to be attributed.
That makes sense if you believe, because I'm confused. You've changed your mind. You had said that you think people aren't good or bad and that exists outside of us. Therefore, the ignorance thing would make sense. But you said you changed your mind. You said all people are bad.
I think ignorance is bad.
That'd be a good conversation. We don't have to have that now, but I'll remember that one.
Yeah, yeah. No. So it to me, it's still, it's sorted out and makes sense. I believe that like people aren't, not all people are malevolent, but all people are bad. And those are different things. Now, I also believe bad is a forgivable thing to be just because of my, you know, my faith and everything. But I think the only way that you can have compassion for a bad thing is if they don't know better. I think that's why people like puppies, and puppies are terrible. They like pee and eat things and they're just awful things, but they don't know better. And that's why we love them. And so even like in an ultimate sense, if God looks at people who are these bad things, like how could he love us unless we were ignorant? I'm sure he's capable because he's God, but ultimately I think it's easier to love a thing that's bad if they're ignorant. And I use the puppy example because that's kind of how I think of people ultimately. You know, for us chewing up a tennis shoe or something is the equivalent of, oh, I ran over a guy because I hated him. And, you know, that's obviously a really extreme example, yeah. But God, and you know, God sees things in this different scope. So
we talked about that in a couple different conversations, and I'll throw in my size to those. So as far as people being bad, my opinion doesn't entirely or necessarily disagree. I think people are both bad and good, and they can be more bad than good or more good than bad, but both exist in them at all times. So that technically doesn't mean that you're wrong. People are bad. All people are bad. That's true if all people have bad in them. So that doesn't necessarily disagree. And as far as ignorance, everyone being ignorant and us being puppies, and I equate that to if God judges babies, in a sense, where are they going, heaven or hell? Like, well, it's easy to say that they're good because they're innocent, but then the end verse is, well, they're ignorant. They don't know any better. Forgot what's going with that. Oh, yeah, we talked about that last week about how God exists in another dimension and maybe time isn't a factor to him. Mm-hmm. So he can perceive their whole life maybe in the way that we can't. And he can see things that we can't understand. I accept that. So anyway, we're trying our best to make sense with what little vision we have. And I don't want to go into that whole thing from last week, but you started to kind of connect to past conversations.
The puppy example, another way that it works is like when a puppy is engaged with its owner and it turns into an adult dog who's very well trained. Like that dog is just beloved. They're so close to their owner that they're inseparable. And that's, I think that there are relationships with God like that too. And you know, it'd be nice, but it takes being trained, and you can't go eating things and pooping in the house anymore.
Do you think people are like dogs in that? Because I think this, if they're not trained, they will be wild animals.
Yeah.
And if we left to our own devices, did have our morals, we would, I think, put ourselves in the hierarchies. That's just how we're designed.
Yeah.
But
we'd be wolves.
We'd be
hyenas.
Wild animals is, I think, the nicest way to say it.
Yeah.
Barbaric is probably a more realistic way to say it.
Mangy, and there'd mangy. Be an alpha, but he'd be terrible.
He'd be a tyrant, right?
Yeah, he'd be a tyrant.
Yeah, right. And they'd all be all of them, as opposed to because of our morals that allow us to exist mostly peacefully.
I don't think of people as dogs. I'm using this example to prove some points that I think.
Well, I made the comparison.
It only works if metaphorically. I'm not saying anything not about literally. People being dogs. Yeah. I think we're so much better and greater than dogs.
Here's a question as it relates to moral authority. Why do you think that we're not all wild animals?
Because we were imbued with a part of godliness. I think that's what separates us.
Yeah, I don't disagree. Maybe there's a different way to say it, but that's, yeah, I mean.
We are made in God's image. And yeah. I believe what that means is that.
It's why we're not animals. It's not just it is kind of self-awareness. I think literally, I don't know if I've ever thought about this. Let me think about it for a minute. I don't know that what'd you say? Not the Holy Spirit, God's image. I don't know that God's image is literally self-awareness. I don't think it's just that, because I was just asking myself, do I think that Adam and Eve were animals before they ate from the tree of knowledge of good and evil? Because I think that's how bad entered the world, because that's free will and they chose it or something like that. Animals can't do that, but they did choose to do that. So they were self-aware. Well, that's not true. I don't know. That's a little complicated. I don't need to talk about that
agency.
Right now.
I think agency is the thing that's in God's image. The fact that we're aware.
I call
of
that
time.
Free will.
Yeah, yeah. You could call it free will. We talked about last week how I believe free will is like we do have it, and we behave as if we have it, and that's how we operate functionally. But technically, God's outside that, and so technically, it's predestination too. But free will, I think, is the thing. The fact that we're aware that we can, our decisions impact our futures is the thing that's like God.
That's been observed. I shouldn't say this because I don't know anything. So if you have something, go ahead. Otherwise I'll spew something that probably won't make sense.
Go ahead.
As creatures, we have I think it's a rare ability, if not the only creatures that are aware of our future selves.
Right.
I mean, squirrels store nuts for the winter.
But they don't really know why. It's instinctual.
Is it? I mean, I assume so. But we are truly aware of our future selves. So I don't know if that's unique to us. I feel like that's something that was observed and studied. It's like, yeah, that's no animal does that or knows that and figures that out.
We can't cite our sources, but I've read that as well.
I don't know that I read it. I don't read, like, words. I just listen to them through videos. Yeah. But they're still words, so I don't know. I seem to remember hearing that, but I don't know that, so I was hesitant on touting it because it may not even make sense.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, moral authority. Let's see if there's another branch. I don't want to get anything too
I have another
specific,
one.
But go ahead.
So, like, there's a distaste when people talk about telling people what to do, and I wonder if that's because that's a natural thing about people, is we have distaste for authority, or if it's because if it's nature or nurture, like if it's a natural innate distaste for authority, or if it's all you've ever seen is corrupted hierarchies and so you think they're bad.
I specifically think that we all resent it or we don't want it, but we all understand it. It's built in us, but we all by default choose not to.
But
I think by default we're bad.
So I agree with that. What I'm asking is specifically, do you think the reason that people don't like them largely is because they don't see good examples of them? They see corrupted hierarchies, or because we're built to not like them, even if they're good or bad?
Crudely put, I think we're built to not like them.
Okay.
I mean, we weren't built that way. We chose that by my own definition, but we are that way.
So
not because I saw bad and I saw the corrupted authority, therefore I don't like. No, we just would rather choose ourselves as our moral authority. Not
can you substantiate else. That opinion? If you can't, that's okay, because I think I can substantiate the other way around.
Go ahead and do yours, and I'll see if I can combat it. Now you have to.
So we have to go to an example. We have to just imagine this. So we're gonna, you know, just see if you can follow or you can theorize. Let's say when you're born, you're just born this way. Think like everything you experience is the result of a perfect hierarchy. So you're born, you don't feel pain because somehow the doctors have managed it in such a way that it's It's good. Your parents are there and they're loving and caring and they're present. And the way that you're built is without flaw. If the hierarchy is perfect and you've seen the perfect example of it, do you think that that kid would still despise it?
No, because of the simple reason that perfect hierarchies can't exist without perfect people.
Right.
You can't have a perfect hierarchy with any bad people in it.
Right. So again, so that kind of disproves what you're saying before about you think the reason is largely nature. It's in our nature to dislike hierarchies. Or maybe it proves it because people are all imperfect. And so we would hate imperfect hierarchies.
I wish I was a bit sharper right now because I'd like to think about all the stances I've taken and see if they can all agree with one another. Because the odds are one of them disagrees. But I don't have the capacity to do it. Now, I do. I could watch the tape back, write down every note, and then think about it all later if I had to.
Yeah, I've thought about this a lot. And so,
I mean, I've thought about these things separately to a degree.
Yeah.
But in total, you know, it's good to go back and go, oh.
Just so you know where I stand, I think it's a little bit of both. I think, I'm like most things, I'm kind of down the middle with it. I know sometimes it seems kind of unclear what I believe about things because I ask all these weird questions and say things differently, but largely I have sort of a balanced perspective. So I believe it's a little bit that because we're flawed and because of how we were built, we dislike hierarchies or we kind of have a distaste to people telling people what to do, especially if they don't have the authority.
I take issue with that. If you want to go ahead.
But then on the flip side, I think it's also part because people haven't seen a lot of good examples of hierarchies. They're all corrupted that we really look at.
I can't disagree with that second thing, but the first thing, it's just some words you use. I want to see if this is specifically what you mean because I don't like the way it sounds. Built to dislike authority. I don't think that's true at all. I think we are built to like authority, but we chose ourselves instead. We chose not to obey authority.
Okay.
So I wouldn't say we are built to not like authority. I disagree with that.
Okay. That's a little oversimplistic. So basically it's part of our design, it is born with
the disliking of authority. From the moment we're born, we dislike it. It's not that we were designed to do that. Cause I put that design on us, but yeah, you can disagree.
The reason I don't, oh gosh, I had it. I'm so frustrated because I had it. The reason I think that, so here's what I think. I think that people were built to understand the hierarchies. And so we understand how things sort in them. And I believe that we were also built to operate in hierarchies beneath an ultimate authority. And that's where we operate best is underneath. Like we operate best subservient to the ultimate authority. Now we also are pretty good at managing what's beneath us too. If we're aware of it and we think about it and we're cognitive and all that. But I think that we were both built to understand it and be able to dislike it.
Right.
But we were best designed to fit underneath. So there's kind of both going on.
I don't know if you were trying to disagree, but I agree with that because we're born with, built to work within a hierarchy and understand it and to do well within it. We're designed for that. We're also designed with, you said, the ability to
because choose. We understand it, we dislike it.
Well, you said we had the ability to choose to not like, well, that's free will. We were built with a free will switch. I have a switch on the back of my hand. It says free will on or off. And I choose. I'm sorry. We had free will and the switch is obey or disobey. I can choose, but I have, but I was built with this. So we weren't designed with the switch to off, like disobey. Sorry. But we had a choice, whatever.
Well, that agrees
with what I'm thinking. I don't know if you meant to do it that way.
Pushing the example further along, because we chose to separate ourselves from where we operate best, that's why we're all, like, fucked up. It's because it has something to do with the fact that we were designed to fit in a hierarchy, but we elected to remove ourselves from it. And that's why everybody's, like, anxious and doesn't know where we fit in the universe. It's like, well, it's because you got rid of the thing that you were built to do. Well, and you know that's a little bit reductionist, but
right, redundant, but it's true. I mean, again, redundant. You were designed to worship. I think I'm not gonna tell you no, go do this. This is what I think. I think that we were designed to worship God, And if you try
to the highest authority,
right, more value, whatever, that's what you aim at and orient yourself towards, the star, whatever.
Yeah.
If you play God, if you think you have the answers, good luck, because now you don't fit anywhere, or not as well as you should, and it's hard to navigate everything, relationships, comes literally everything.
Yeah.
If God, the Jehovah God, if he is the highest authority, it's like we talked about it briefly, kind of. It's like dimensions. It's like, what do you call that? Being saved. You have that moment when you realize there's the world's way bigger than you are, and there's way more to the world than just Earth, and and whatever keeps going. That's another way of saying my eyes were opened.
Yeah.
Literally changes your perspective and affects everything. If God is truly above you, this moral thing, whatever you want to call it, that changes your perspective on everything.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're going to call yourself God and you understand you, your vision is comparatively like this.
Yep.
It's narrow. So good luck navigating.
Yeah.
At some point, if you want to be better, you're going to have to choose something bigger than yourself.
Yeah.
The biggest thing that you know of, and the biggest thing that we literally know of, is God, as in that God. So I think that's the smart move.
Well, it's the well, I don't know. I think the evidence, we speak a lot of these truisms and we behave as though they're just true. We also believe there's evidence to substantiate these things that we're saying. Like, you look at the evidence of a life that largely follows God, and you see them like doing pretty good. Largely, obviously, they have their problems because it's the earth and stuff. But it's like their joy is different than most people's happiness.
I don't know if this is a great idea, but, you know, it sucks that it's so difficult, if impossible, to prove that God exists. But I'm not the only one to think this. I think it's just as impossible to prove that he doesn't.
Yeah.
So you're stuck with faith either way.
Yeah.
There's no, which I think is kind of smart. If I was God designing stuff, I'd say you have to choose.
Yeah. Give it about a 50-50
choice. I'm going to give them that free will switch. They have to choose. They have to have faith. There's no other way.
Yeah.
Which is kind of, I think it's funny, actually.
It is funny. And, you know, I have, just because of the way I see things, I kind of cringe every time you talk about the free will switch and stuff. But I technically believe in that. We talked about this last week, but I do think that God's outside that, and he technically orchestrates all this stuff. I also talked to my mom about this, the way that I talked about, and you get to participate in the process of changing your own future. I think that that's actually the most hopeful story that there is. And I think everybody talking, like, that's why Endgame, like, stands out so much in people's minds, or the Lord of the Rings. You know, you talk about these stories where you yourselves are given the opportunity to participate in the changing of the future for your world.
To rehash, but also mostly to re-clarify,
as
it comes to fate and destiny, whatever, your agency, free will, what's preordained, we agree, I think, that it's both. I'm not trying to trap you, because
I believe it's one of them.
We can only one?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, well, I thought we equated that. Maybe, I know that's what I thought. Crudely explained, the world is a board game, and God's looking at a board game. God has the ability to move boards, and you said he does intervene. He does move stuff, but it's us choosing where to go. We have the ability to choose our future and do what we want to do, but God can also move things if he wants to. He has the ability to do that. So it's a bit of both. It's a bit of...
I don't think that.
Okay, what do you think?
I think it's completely outside us. I think
you mean there is no free will. That's right. Sorry.
Right, right.
Okay.
So this is the way...
None of us are moving the board on our own. God's pushing us on... he's moving all the pieces. We can't see it. And we think we're doing it ourselves.
I think if God walks...
Is that what you think?
I think if God walked away from the board game in this example, I think he would stop.
Yeah, yeah. He's moving everything, but we think we're moving ourselves. That's what you think. Okay.
Yeah. And but more than that, because of what we are on the board game, it's It's literally the same thing as, from my perspective, I see free will. And it's like, yeah, from the fourth dimension perspective, we see free will because that's in, we're stuck in that dimension. We have to see it this way because that's the way it works.
I understand. It's complicated.
From the fifth dimension viewpoint, it's obviously orchestrated by God. Yeah. He's just doing all this stuff and you can't do anything by yourself.
You're doing your best. I'm not right. Hating. You're doing your best to maintain both things at the same time, which...
I can. I mean...
No, you are. You're saying both are happy at the same time, which... More and more, in my opinions, I tend to believe the middle or the all-encompassing answer, if possible, is the best one. And
right. So
I'm not saying I believe that, but I totally understand it. I totally understand it.
And the reason that I still cringe with the free will talk is because I think it's the less accurate way to see it. And like technically from our perspective, it's like free will and we have to behave in those parameters, but it's more accurate to say, nope, it's all because of God. And
well, to bring it back, how can you maintain then that you said we have the ability to choose and change our story? And that's the most hopeful thing.
Participate in the changing of it. I say it that way because we can't change.
But
our
ultimately,
story.
If
it is
if
God
you're,
doing
if you're
it,
but, yeah. So you're maintaining it all that hopeful stuff. Isn't real, is it? If we're not
it's real. It's more real.
It's as real to us as it can be, but it ultimately, in the highest dimension, the greatest value, it's not. That's my problem with it.
Well, you're again putting yourself in the way you see the world as ultimate authority in that perspective. If ultimately it's about God, then it's more real that He's doing it on Himself.
Well, I'm gonna fight it a bit because I understand your idea, but I don't agree with it. And you understand why I don't agree with it because I can't.
It's crazy. It's hard to think.
It's at the limits of my comprehension. So what else can I do? Right. Yeah. Okay. But and you're probably going to default to what you said before but you're basically taking a highest dimension of authority.
Yeah.
That I can't, no matter what I say, but I'm not you. I'm being crude here on purpose. But I'm above you. So everything you say is in the dimension lower than mine. And I can change. So whatever I say probably doesn't matter. And whatever. Just let me say this one thing. You may have said this before, and I think I know what you're going to say, but if God ultimately, in the fifth dimension, whatever, is moving all the pieces, why does He let bad things happen?
Because He can. Okay, because He's... Boy, it's tough. It's tough to answer this question in a different way.
You know what a possible answer is? I don't know. You can say that. You can believe what you believe and go, but I don't have an idea.
Oh, no.
This one.
Well, I believe that I have the answer, and the answer looks something like, because no story is good if everything only good happens. Mm-hmm. And ultimately, He's an artist, and so He's building the story. He creates the most unforgivable thing possible, and just to prove that He's so good that he can take the unforgivable thing and forgive it somehow.
And to us on our dimension, we can't see that as anything but awful, but in a higher dimension, there's something much greater happening. And it's ultimately good with the story He's making. And I get that idea for sure.
You ever see those
against it? I don't have anything against it. I just don't think I agree with it.
So do you ever see those artwork pieces that when you look at them, they seem like larger than life or so expansive that you can't comprehend it? Like for instance, if you take, it's tough to talk about a spectrum of art, and you can see it as largely it's tough to describe this, but there's some pieces of art that you see that just take your breath away because something about it is so big and so large, and there's so much depth to it. Like let's say you're looking at a painting, the most beautiful painting you can think of. It's probably beautiful because of like the discordance or the spectrum of color usage and how it's all tangled in there and tied, as well as the size of it. Usually the best artwork has something to do with how deep and big it is, even if it's just in your mind. Like the best music you can listen to has something to do with the tension of all the chords expanding into these large, huge emotional chords done with all these instruments. And anyway, it all has to do with the spectrum. It's from the ultimate dark to the ultimate light. And so what God's doing when he's infinitely good and wonderful and powerful, what else are you going to do but create the best thing that you can, which has to do with creating the ultimate depth of darkness and evil and malevolence, and then the ultimate goodness. I don't know. It's very hard to explain God.
Oh yeah.
But just I kind of have to operate under what would I do if I was ultimately the best thing?
Kind of sounds like, I don't know that we necessarily disagree. It seemed like we did earlier. It sounds like you're kind of saying God needs to have a lot of bad things to happen, saying that crudely, in order for the good to happen and exist. Needs to exist. Can't exist without the other.
So another reason.
Generally, that sounds what you're saying.
The question that you're asking is stuck in our dimension again, because bad things to us isn't bad things to God. It's just different. Like the same way that a two-dimensional drawing can't fathom what it's like to be the person who drew it. Like we can't operate, mm-hmm. we can't understand bad in the same way God mm-hmm. does. We look at an ink stain that's on our two-dimensional piece of paper, and we say, look how dark and terrible that ink stain is. And when you pull back, it's literally him drawing the ultimate picture, and you need that stain to make the beautiful. I get the
dimension jump, and I like using our dimension mm-hmm. and then the dimension below us like paper.
Yes.
To explain
what we that's just like. Can't see it.
We just, it's like. I actually like that example quite a bit. I didn't think about some more, but I was going to say something about ants, but I don't want to use animals. I like that example. Imagine being a painting trying to comprehend who drew it.
Yeah.
Not quite what you said, but something like that. Mm-hmm. It sounds much better. It's more profound.
Yeah. And, you know, the painting, the question of why do bad things happen is the same thing as why is the canvas now have a different color than I was expecting on it? It has black on it when it should only be yellows and pinks and purples and all these happy colors. And when you look at the painting, it's like, well, it needs the black. Otherwise, it'd just be yellows and pinks and purples. And that's boring. You know, I don't know. And it's more than that because he cares about.
Again, I don't know if I agree with it, but I'll go ahead and try to bolster it because. We have what we call morals. And in a dimension above, morals may be so trivial, so petty. Time certainly is, to where, the most tragic thing that happens on Earth is nothing, absolutely nothing. And that's been kind of explored on a crude way, like in Marvel, where Doctor Strange is like, this universe dies, there are millions of other universes that won't know the difference. Mm-hmm. Nothing to change. Like, that's a crude way of saying, but maybe that's kind of how it is, where the bad things that happen here are nothing. And they make more good ultimately. Maybe that's a way. Mm-hmm. Maybe that's true. I don't know if I feel that way. Well, but you can understand why I wouldn't, because sure. This is as much as I can comprehend.
Oh yeah, no, I'm not at all. Yeah. So, and then to take that point further, you're correct in that if there's ultimately way more than us, then it doesn't really matter what happens to us, even in a million years, because if there's been 5 billion years, you know, whatever, we live 60 to 100 years out of however many the universe has existed, and then we live and we die, and ultimately everybody we ever affect lives and dies, and that's ultimately true about the universe without gods, right? But it just so happens that the highest authority, the thing that is outside our dimension that created the dimension, cares about it. And so it's in his interest to participate with us. It's the same as if an artist works on a piece that he cares about a ton, and he toils over it, and he values it. And it's like, well, if it is the thing he values most, then he's going to treasure it more than anything else.
I don't know if I get, sheesh, English is hard and I'm tired. I don't know if I agree with this, but I certainly understand it. If, again, is it your mama?
No.
Again, using dimensions as a paintings as a dimension. If we are a painting if we are a painting and God is the painter, whatever. And God, as a painter, as an artist, his job and desire is to make the most beautiful thing possible. In order to make the most beautiful thing possible, there has to be bad things in it. It has to be good and bad. You have to have all of it. So on this painting, there's a coffee stain. This coffee stain is natural disasters. And to us, we're like, you're mixing my blues and my reds. What's on the canvas? Like, this is all messed up. And God's like, it's perfect. Mm-hmm. And then if, like, you know, whatever. That's a crude way of explaining bad. It's nothing to him other than something beautiful, which... And I'm going along with your thinking. We see it as, therefore, God is bad. Like, no, we don't understand in this dimension what bad is on that level. So we can't And I get that idea. I don't know if I'm going to subscribe to it, but I understand it.
Well, and also ultimately, we've said this in a lot of ways, but it's not about us. If it was about us, then the bad thing, if it was about the paint, then it's a shame that the paint was ever removed from the bucket in which the artist got it from. So it's like, no, it belongs with the paint that it was in, but ultimately it's about the painting and it's about the painter. So there's a lot of things that are ashamed to the paint that God uses to create paintings or whatever. It's just more, it's easier to justify my ridiculous things that I say if it's not about me. And I remember that, like, it's almost impossible to tell a stranger that, especially someone who believes that they're the highest, they're the God in their hierarchy. It's like, well, you think about what it's about. It's literally about this. And the fact that we are involved in it all is like really cool and awesome.
In the grand scheme of things, I'm not even a microorganism unaware of all the life in the world and in the universe. I'm not even a microorganism, probably.
Yeah.
Compared and relative to dimensions. Dimensions is the word I'll use. I think it's the best understanding we have of levels above and beyond.
Yeah.
So anyway, very hard to talk about anything in this dimension like moral authority or good and bad as soon as we ever introduce another one. So when you introduce the one above and say, but free will technically doesn't exist, then it gets complicated. But I do appreciate talk about those things or struggling too, because it's interesting, number one, and two, it helps me understand what you think about things, and I don't have to agree, but I can go, I understand why you think that now.
Yeah. We literally are the microorganisms that don't matter at all, but
God, like, loves them.
Right.
And these microorganisms are part of something beautiful.
They're preserved in the little science vial, and he looks at us all the time.
Like, oh, looks at us all the time. Look at it.
They're swimming around.
They're making...
That one ate the other one.
There's my little yeast beast.
Yeah. There's a lot of different weird examples that can try to convey an idea.
And none of them will work, but they'll all be like the tiniest.
Get a little bit closer to maybe understanding the concept of what we're talking
about. Maybe possibly understanding the beginning of a concept. You know, like that's,
I wrote...
Probably not.
Yeah, I wrote... at some point, maybe I'll share it, but I wrote this thought exercise trying to comprehend that idea of what makes people unique in the universe, because we're kind of useless. And it had something to do with, it was following an artist, a God character. And like, and he walks up to a perfectly still body of water. And then he like splashes it and gets it moving. And that's the way, universe
trying to
starting.
Try to picture water that's absolutely still. Absolutely. It looks like glass. It doesn't exist because we're on Earth and there's constant motion and gravity. Try to imagine it, but yeah.
Yeah. So, and then he's the one that gets it rippling and moving. And then in that, the part of the water that we are the parts that reflect God, his image, because water reflects an image. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, it's tough to convey. I don't know if that's even the best metaphor to convey it, but because everything's so fluid and hard to quantify, so far it's my favorite example, but it's very difficult to reason why. And the parts of the water that show the face of the person who splashed it, that's the most accurate. I don't know. And the reason that it's valuable or it's valued is because the person doing the splashing, man, I'm not going to keep going.
Don't
with
worry
this.
About it.
I wrote it out in a way that's good, but it's complex. It's too hard to try to explain in a way that's going to sound good or smart.
I said we're smart. You said or smart.
Or smart, yeah.
Or just end all that. Other. We're smart. All right.
we're smart, yeah.
No, there is more to be said about moral authority, but I'm good now.
Okay.
I have the, now that I've written it out and talked about it for an hour, I proved that I had the moral authority to do that. So,
yeah.
Thank you for your time.
Yeah, and thanks for being the boss. the boss.
Thank you guys for listening to the show that you can. Don't forget that if you really believe that you are right, that gives you the right to do it. That's how it works. That's what we figured out today, right?
Yeah, so if you know better than someone else, then just kill them. And then
exactly.